Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you with us today as we take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Always great to have her come by. And we're going to zero in on a few things. I know we want to talk about urinary tract infections a bit. Well, actually, one of my kitties, Coco, has a problem. And we'll also talk about some plants that may be a problem for your pets as well. Dr. Sandy, welcome.
Hey, it's so nice to be here today.
Great to have you along. And the number to call, by the way, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk, you know, well, you know very well that Coco has had some problems, but I was kind of interested to hear that you talk about the relationship between hard water and pet health.
Yeah, this was a little study done by one of the pet insurance companies called Trupanion, and what they looked at was people that have pets that are insured through their company and the number of claims that they would get for urinary health issues. Don't you wish you had pet insurance now?
Yeah, I sure do.
Okay, and what they found is that in areas of the country where people have pets that are drinking extremely hard water had 3 times the incidence of urinary health issues with like things like bladder stones, crystalluria, those types of things. Fortunately for your cat, Coco, he has a condition that is called sterile cystitis, which is where typically we don't culture anything from the bladder. They don't have any bladder stones. They just get this very inflamed bladder, and he was having issues with urinating blood and straining and so on with a nice tiny bladder. And it's a real tough one to have to deal with because, you know, in cases like, you know, where it may be when you're in a hard water area, you know, feeding, letting them have either some bottled water or distilled water would probably not be a bad idea. But in your kitty's case, it's, you know, increasing water intake. I know, increasing water intake, decreasing stress, although I don't think your kitties are stressed at all. Special diets that may help, like the combination struvite oxalate diets that maintain a moderate pH. There's, you know, things like that that we can do. But unfortunately, you know, it's more management.
Well, what about a water softener? If you have a water softener, does that help?
That may help. It removes some of the hardness from the water. And then you have the issue with the extra sodium that may be in the water. And is that going to be an issue for other health issues down the road, like heart disease? So I think you'd probably be better off if you have a kitty that you think may benefit from this to use maybe just some bottled distilled water or something like that.
So what is it? Are there symptoms that the kitties that are maybe suffering from the hard water?
Well, typically it's what's called crystalluria, where they actually have increased crystals, microscopic irritating things in their bladder that may turn into bladder stones. And that's where having a urine sample looked at is going to be very helpful. If the veterinarian is seeing lots of crystals or on x-ray they see a bladder stone, that's going to be very different than the cat with sterile cystitis, which may just have lots of blood but without any crystals. But remember, a urine sample that is collected and let to sit and come to room temperature, even a normal cat that doesn't have any urinary issues, their urine is so concentrated that the crystals may come out of, the minerals may come out of solution and form crystals under the microscope. So your best bet is always trying to get a urine sample hot off the press, as I like to say, right from the cat's bladder.
Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, our guest today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. And let's see. We've got Donna in Fort Atkinson. I want to get to plants, but let's go to Donna first. Donna, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, I have a Cairn Terrier who recently will not stop licking his muzzle. It's quite alarming to us because he, you know, usually is very calm, happy, playful, and lately, whenever he's awake, he won't stop licking his muzzle, his nose. We took him to the vet, and there's no tartar buildup or anything that concerned the vet, but it's just sort of a habit that he started now, and we're wondering what could be causing it.
Well, if they only did an awake exam on your dog, it may be helpful to either have a sedated or anesthetized oral exam as well. We've seen things like foreign bodies stuck up in the roof of the mouth that can cause recurrent licking. I've seen some dogs that even just their hair, especially the dogs with a hairy muzzle, the hair gets wrapped around those front teeth and can cause some irritation as well. And so that may be part of it, is making sure all that hair is trimmed very short around his muzzle. But I would be thinking that it's, you know, you may want to consider going back to the vet and just saying, even though there's not a lot of tartar, do we have, you know, some disease going on in there? And it may mean getting some oral x-rays done to make sure that there's nothing going on, getting a good look way back in the throat as well, under the tongue, all those things that you really can't do when they're awake, because with this coming on acutely, I really think there's probably something in the mouth that's bothering your dog, and not enough to keep them from eating or anything like that, but enough to cause them to have this type of behavior that you're noticing at home. So time to go back to your vet and say, can you just have a better look for us?
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling, Don. I appreciate your call. Paula in Wanakee has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Absolutely. Well, I have an almost one-year-old golden retriever who, as a puppy from the time we got her, would, anytime she fell asleep, would pee herself, like a kid who pees the bed. Then it went away at about 8 months or so, and now she's back to once, maybe twice a week, waking up in a puddle. And the vet has no idea. We've had an MRI. There's nothing physically wrong that they can find with the MRI. She's on a grain-free diet, which is something my breeder recommended, I think, just out of desperation.
Okay.
Tell me. And I don't know what else to do for her.
Yeah.
I was hoping she would outgrow it, but yeah. I don't know, at a year.
Yeah, yeah. Have you tried any medications? Has your veterinarian prescribed anything like phenylpropanolamine, a drug called Proin, or an estrogen product, anything like that?
Well, she had mentioned Proin.
Okay.
I guess I just thought that since it was, at the time she was a puppy, it was 3 and 4 times a day.
Yeah, yeah, that's very weird.
Now it's less, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week, maybe she'll go a couple weeks. And I just hate to put her on meds for something that is, you know, that infrequent.
Right,
but
right.
I just can't figure out for the life of me what...
Well, things that come to my mind, if someone came in with a puppy that was doing this, I'd be thinking about something like ectopic ureters, where the tubes from the kidney that feed into the bladder sometimes are positioned in a different spot and allow the dog to just be dripping or leaking urine more frequently. Sometimes we'll see dogs with vaginal strictures where they'll get pooling of urine in the vaginal tract, and then when they lay down and relax, it oozes out. The only way you're really going to be able to diagnose that is by doing vaginoscopy, actually going in and having a look up in there and seeing what's going on. Sometimes doing some other specialty studies other than an MRI, contrast studies of the urinary system, where they give them some contrast material intravenously and they watch it going through their kidneys, down their ureters, into their bladder, and then, you know, wherever it goes after there. That is sometimes helpful as well. I don't know if that's something that your vet has looked into. Obviously, this kind of testing would probably involve seeing an internist and working with people that are well adept at doing special imaging studies. That's where I'd be going down that path, because this has been going on so long. I think, you know, we need to just kind of approach it a different way. And I know that it's only happening intermittently, but we worry about things like if she is pooling urine, that she may be more prone to urinary tract infections and having issues that way. So I think you should probably try to get it under control, and it may mean getting a second opinion, unfortunately.
There you go. Thanks so much for calling, Paula, and good luck. Appreciate your call. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, our guest. And I have another guest in the studio. I always love to see Michelle Good come by. Michelle, you have cats and dogs?
I have a cat.
You have a cat. What's the cat's name?
His name is Buster.
Buster.
Yeah, he's my little boy.
So your ears perk up a little bit every time you hear Dr. Sandy's going to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. I have learned so much about how to... He thinks he's a dog. So, you know, which is actually a bad thing, comes when he's called and things like that. I have encouraged some of that training with Dr. Sandy's advice.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to have you come and help me talk about our spring membership drive. Michelle Good is here to remind you that you count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you, and pets certainly matter. And we come to you to help keep these discussions on the air. So I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
And last hour, Larry, we heard from 24 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges, and you helped us meet our goal. Right now, I have some really exciting news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect, up to $2,500. This generous match is from 9XM Leadership Circle member Craig Culver from Sauk City, and it means that he'll match every dollar that you give right now.
That's wonderful, and it's his way of encouraging you to join him in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double your support for the programs you love. Just give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You listen to the Ideas Network because we connect you with experts in the fields like Dr. Sandy Sawchuk. Now, how many times can you just pick up the phone and call an editor of a magazine, a politician, an animal behaviorist, author of a book? The Ideas Network brings these experts right into your home, right to you. To help make it possible, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive, you can choose the 2016 WPR Artist Mug as your thank you gift for your pledge of $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156. It's a USA-made mug, artwork from Chris Gargan from Dane County, and it is really, really pretty.
And it's great because your pledge supports the programs, and you get this great mug. This year's mug, it's really beautiful. It's very kind of Claude Monet in its own way. It has the rich colors of a Wisconsin meadow in spring. You can see the design at WPR.org and ask for yours when you pledge online or call 888-202-2552.
A lot of my friends grew up with public radio, and unfortunately, I didn't. I discovered it in college, and I knew I was addicted when the fun drives would come on, and I still couldn't change the channel. And so, it's been such an important part of sort of my relationship with my friends also that this summer when I got married, I decided to include it in my vows. And in my part about why I love my husband, I said, no matter how many times I say, guess what I heard on NPR, you always listen to my stories with interest. My husband and I donate because I feel like it's an important asset in my life and I would like to contribute to it. But I really think that it's an important asset to the community as a whole and to the country as a whole. My name is Christine Callis-Jewell, and public radio is my source for the beginning of conversations.
And that Christine is a cool gal, isn't she?
I like the music, too.
I like the music, too. And to include NPR in her marriage vows, I think, says something about her commitment.
That's
What about your commitment? As you listen here, you can make your donation right now in support of the programs that you count on at WPR.org or at 202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good, here to raise money that keeps this station and this program on the air. So maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And pledging to WPR is really quick and easy. And when you become a sustainer, you make that process even easier. You make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card.
And that support will renew automatically every year, so your membership is always current. So pick an amount that works for you. Maybe it's $10 a month. And become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
every time you listen to WPR, and particularly Larry's show, you learn something, whether it's news of the day, a personal anecdote, home repair, or maybe what kind of physical therapy you should be doing for a knee injury. There's always something interesting going on.
And I think listening to WPR is a reminder that life is truly fascinating and that you're glad to always learn something new. I certainly am. This and that engagement you feel when you listen, that's worth your support. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle member Craig Culver from Sauk City. So if you make that pledge, your gift of $50 turns into $100. You have the opportunity to give twice as much. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs. When you give, do it right now at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
Many listeners become donors out of a sense of social responsibility because you think of WPR as a shared resource and because you've been getting value out of it over the past year or two or more. Time to put something back in.
Make that donation for yourself and also for your community. The amount is up to you. The important thing is that you participate. Do it right now. Give your first ever gift of, say, $5 or $10 a month at WPR.org. Remember, you'll get it doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have five new folks participating.
Welcome.
So far. Yeah, that's wonderful. A gift to WPR is a gift through Wisconsin Public Radio to the community. You enjoy this radio station, and so do many other folks.
Make that pledge right now. Remember, you're getting it doubled. When you make a pledge of $156, you get our great artist mug, this year's artist mug. Make your pledge. Show your support for Larry and all the great programs here on WPR by going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
A dollar-for-dollar match still in effect. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR is going to go twice as far. Kathleen Dunn will be talking with a geologist who's researching the asteroid that's believed to have led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. That'll be interesting. I don't know how do you research that? Well, you'll find out when Kathleen's on with her guest. Right now, you're going to learn about your pet and your pet's health from Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. I'm Larry Mueller, and again, thank you so much for joining us. Steve in Black River Falls has been waiting quite a while, so let's go to Steve. Thank you for waiting, Steve. And what's on your mind?
Thank you. And I am a contributor. But also, I'm a dog owner. I have dogs all my life. And I have two daughters, of course, and I'm living by myself now, and of course they're on their own. My question is can my a dog recognize somebody, say my daughters, that they are related to me by their odor, by their smell, since they have such great noses?
That's a really good question.
That's an interesting
one. It really is, you know, and I don't know if I've ever seen any research on that, whether your, you know, personal pheromones or whatever, if it's, you know, how much of it is genetically passed to your offspring. Dogs have such a tremendous sense of smell, and it does vary between breeds and things like that too, because obviously, you know, there's certain dogs that are much better at tracking and finding things. But with, you know, knowing that dogs that are trained to be a tracking dog can be able to find somebody with a piece of clothing or something like that, I'm wondering how much of the odors are just coming like from your home and, you know, being transferred on clothing. So I don't know. I think that's a really interesting thing to contemplate, and I'm going to, but I don't know how you would test it.
I don't know. I wonder if there's any research on that.
Well, I don't know.
Probably could look that up.
Yeah.
I would believe that they are. I have Weimaraners, and they're very smart dogs and very perceptive, and I do believe that they can tell.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. That would be one to kind of look up and see if there is any research on that. Richard and Mercer up next. Hi, Richard. Thank you for calling.
Yes. Our daughter has two cats, and she's a school teacher, but she's been suffering from laryngitis for almost 8 months. And it sometimes gets a little better, but mostly not. And there seems to be nothing they can do for her. We're wondering if the cat litter might have some drying agent or something that would either cause or exacerbate her laryngitis.
Well, you know, I am not a physician, but I'm going to come right out and say, has she been evaluated for regurgitating? Because I had the same issue, and they thought, oh, you've developed allergies. And turns out I was just refluxing, and I was burning my laryngeal folds, and I had laryngitis for almost 3 months before they finally got to the answer. And so, anyways, that's my personal.
Yeah,
I had absolutely nothing to do with it. But human respiratory issues. Does she have like chronic allergies to her cats? The litter itself, she's probably not spending a lot of time in the litter box like the cats do, but we know that with cats, certain types of litter that are really dusty can make cat asthma worse, where it's down in their lungs and they have more issues with, you know, coughing, wheezing, that type of thing, but not usually associated with laryngitis. So, you know, I doubt that her laryngitis is related to the cat litter. I'd be looking more at cat allergies or some other problem that her physician is more able to diagnose and treat than I am. So, but have her look into the reflux thing. I think that would be... I was actually diagnosed by one of my pet owners who's an ear, nose, and throat person, and I'm talking to her on the phone, and she goes, oh, your voice is bad. And I go, oh, it's been going on all summer. She's like, I bet you got this going on. Raise your bed, get some Prilosec, you'll be fine. And it's like, back to normal again. So,
oh, my goodness. Well, so there you go, Richard. It's at least worth a look,
right.
For sure. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And... more callers online. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you. Sherry, this goes along with an earlier call, too. Sherry emailed to ask for a 13-year-old dog to have difficulty holding urine. We were talking about urine earlier. Hers frequently will come in from going outside, the dog will, and then... squat and pee in the floor.
Yeah, I mean, this is different. I mean, we see urination issues where dogs are incontinent, and they can be fine when they're standing up and moving around, but when they lay down and relax, a little bit of urine may leak out. If they've got a weak bladder sphincter or some of the issues that we talked about that can affect puppies, like vaginal strictures and ectopic ureters, those type of things. But the fact that this dog is actually posturing to go to the bathroom and is going outside and then having obviously some urgency and doing it inside, I worry about things like, does she have a bladder stone? Does she have a bladder infection? Do we have something like a bladder tumor that is, you know, making her be more irritated? Sometimes as dogs get older, it's not uncommon for them to have health issues that can make them produce more urine, things like failing kidneys, diabetes, some hormonal problems such as Cushing's disease may increase urine production. And when that happens, sometimes they just have more housebreaking accidents because they can't get outside often enough. So this is not a normal problem. I think you need to get your dog back in and have a urine sample taken. The best urine sample you can take to your veterinarian is the first sample in the morning. So going out when your dog just gets up and is going to go out and potty in the yard, you follow them around with a soup ladle or a little saucer or something and slide it underneath and bring that urine in, because that's going to tell the vet, are they able to concentrate their urine? Because most dogs aren't up in the middle of the night drinking water. And you never know. Sometimes when they come into the clinic, their bladder's empty, and then we're out of luck collecting a sample. So if you bring one in, you're going to probably make your vet very happy. They still may want to collect one in the clinic if they need to get a sterile sample, but go ahead and do that, and hopefully they'll get to the bottom of this.
Very good. Karen in Madison has something. Let's go there. Hi, Karen. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I had a question about remarks Dr. Sawchuk made last month on tick control in cats.
Yeah.
My cats are indoor-outdoor because I train them to walk on leashes and walk off-leash, and it's a wonderful experience for all of us. So they get outside. They don't kill pets, don't get injured, but they do get ticks. Now, they're also clients of the vet school, and it was recommended that I use Revolution, but Revolution isn't rated against ticks and cats.
Mm-hmm.
So I added Easy Spot, but I thought maybe you were saying there was a collar that I should use to supplement, say, the Revolution, and it might be really effective.
Well, this is the issue that we have. I wish there was one product that would cover everything, but when we have a cat that is an indoor-outdoor cat, the parasites and things that we get concerned about are things like heartworm disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, which it's spread by mosquitoes. And so that's where Revolution would be helpful for that. We worry about fleas as well. And so that's where something like the Seresto collar that gets fleas would be helpful, but Revolution gets fleas. We also are concerned about ticks now as well. And sometimes intestinal parasites, especially if they're grooming themselves after coming in, if they've got some soil. Obviously, they're not hunting, so that's going to decrease the risk of parasites. But those are all things that indoor-outdoor cats we get concerned about. So I wish I could say that there was one product that's going to cover all of these, but there isn't. And so what you have done by using a combination of two spot-on products is you're covering intestinal parasites and heartworm and fleas with the Revolution. And then with the fipronil-based product, the one that you're using called Easy Spot, that's covering fleas and ticks. So you're kind of doubling up on the fleas. But there, you know, there really isn't something, one thing that you can use out there. If you want to substitute something like this Seresto collar instead of using the Easy Spot, if your cats don't mind wearing an extra collar, they last for 8 months, extremely effective, but you're still going to need something for heartworm control. So there you go. You know, so you're still going to be using two products.
That was my question, was whether the Seresto collar might be more effective than Easy Spot.
I think just from the efficacy standpoint, I've seen wonderful reports with it. But and they do last for 8 months, so it ends up being a little bit less expensive than using the monthly spot-ons. And cats seem to tolerate the collars real well. They're very safe.
Great. And I would just suggest to people to get health insurance for their cats, because all of that is covered for me.
Wonderful.
By my health insurance.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I wish I had it. Thanks, Karen, for calling. I'm telling you, Seresto is advertising. The television advertisements for Seresto is like, every time I turn around, I see a Seresto ad.
Yeah, but you know, it's because we're in the middle of flea season around the country, and we're in, you know, tick season here, and so it's they've picked a good season to start their advertising. Yeah,
they sure did. Well, Debbie in Green Bay has a question. Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm just calling about my cat who just had a bout of pancreatitis. And I'm just wondering if there's anything for prevention for future bouts.
Oh, this is a tough one because we don't really know that much about it compared to dogs. And, we know that with dogs, a low-fat diet is often very helpful. With cats, we always recommend that if we can. So using one of the intestinal-type diets like EN or ID, one of the low-fat diets may be helpful. But because this, you know, some of these cats will also, besides having pancreatitis, also have some liver involvement and so on as well, whether we're going to be able to prevent recurrences or not is a really good question. But I think a low-fat diet would probably be your best insurance.
There we go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, our guest from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Always great to have her come by. She comes by once a month, as a matter of fact, to talk with us about your pet's health. And tell you what, Michelle Good comes by every so often, too, to talk about our spring membership drive. She's back in the studio, and she's here to tell you that your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for great programs. And we'll get back to Sandy pretty quickly here. But Michelle, you're here to encourage, aren't you? Well, to tell people to go to WPR.org or phone 888 888- 202-2552. And to do it right now and to make that gift to support the programs you love?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I thought you were going to say that.
But I have a really good reason why people should do that.
Okay.
Apart from showing their support of you and all the programs they love here on WPR, they will get their pledge matched dollar for dollar if they pledge right now. We still have $1,100 available. This is a great time to pledge. That is made available by 9XM Leadership Circle member Craig Culver. He's from Sauk City, and he will double every dollar that you give right now. It's his way of inspiring you to support WPR. So do it right now. Show him that he's right. Double the impact of your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I feel pretty sure you've been enjoying the conversation today with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, and I think it's an example of the important and informative kinds of conversations we have on this show.
So take a few minutes to make this program and many more programs like it possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge helps pay for the programs you enjoy on WPR. And during the drive, you can ask for the 2016 WPR Artist Mug when you give $13 a month. I have all the old mugs.
Do you?
Every one, yes.
This is actually the fifth one in our Artist Mug series.
I have yet to break one. I have not broken a single one.
Well, this one was designed by Chris Gargan. He's a landscape painter from Dane County. It's done, and it's
beautiful.
The original was an oil painting, and it's inspired by the rural Wisconsin landscape. You can ask for yours when you give $13 a month or a one-time gift of $156. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And don't forget, you get your money doubled.
WPR has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality, and that quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution is what makes this program possible, and so many others as well. You're part of the quality that you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Thank you, Barbara. And thank you as you listen in. If you haven't pledged yet, I hope you'll do it right now. If you have pledged, thanks. But otherwise, pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good, asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. And maybe your gift's $10 or maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
We love hearing stories about how listening to WPR affects people. You know, one listener said that WPR provides a full meal for my mind and my soul. Another said, listening to WPR calms my mind, but also engages it.
And because those are familiar feelings to you, I hope you'll make a contribution. Helps keep you healthy, and it also keeps WPR healthy. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And do not forget, if you pledge right now, we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect from 9XM Leadership Circle member Craig Culver of Sauk City. So you give a gift of $50, and it becomes $100. You have a chance to give twice as much as you can actually afford to give. That didn't sound right, but
it was close, though. I knew what you were talking.
You can afford to give, and then it gets doubled. So it's a little bonus. It's kind of like a magic trick. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs.
And about $900 more. I mean, if you have a if you want to make a $900 pledge, you can have it all covered right now, as a matter of
$1,800. Make that call. go online to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
The world is constantly changing. It's hard to keep up. As a listener, you rely on WPR to know what's new and important every day.
WPR members make the updated news and information you hear every day possible. It's your turn to invest in the programs. Your contribution of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount works for you, it keeps the news and conversations relevant and on the air for everyone to enjoy. WPR needs your support. Your membership makes a difference. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or maybe you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much for that. We'll gladly accept your extra gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I pledge every single one of these drives. I talk myself into it every time. You can do it. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Larry, I will gladly accept your extra gift.
Okay. Do it right now. And thanks so much if you've already contributed. Great to have you along on the Ideas Net as we take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk. Open lines get you on pretty quickly with your question at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call, email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Chris in Wisconsin Dells called to say that she used to be allergic to cats, but after she figured out her food allergies, she has no problem with cats and has a bunch now. She also said she had a dog that got urinary infections, and she gave him cranberry sauce mixed with peanut butter, and it helped clear them up.
Well, they actually have on the market now cranberry extract that is available for pets, and you can also, it's available for humans as well. And what we know that cranberry extract does is it actually inhibits bacterial adhesion to the bladder wall. So it helps prevent urinary tract infections. And it's something that for some dogs that have recurrent infections, they really do better on it. So I'm glad she was able to get some help that way.
Ann in Hawkins up next. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I have a 2-year-old dachshund who... shortly after her last veterinary appointment, which she hates, started to get snarly and snappy when I tried to pick her up off of my husband's lap or he tried to pick her up off of mine. And it wasn't just when she was near one of us. One time it was when she was in bed and I tried to kind of push her over and she snarled at me. And most recently, she just about got my granddaughter in the face, and
oh my goodness.
Very concerned about this.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't know if it's related at all to the visit to the vet. I know that sometimes if you've got a dog that is really stressed and, you know, if they've gone through a struggle, you know, is there something painful that's bothering her right now that she's just becoming very hypersensitive to and just realizes that if anybody reaches or touches or moves me the right way, I'm going to react because I got to keep the boogeyman away from trying to bother me. So I would, you know, be saying, let's, you know, have her evaluated for pain. Now, this is a real problem for us when we have pets that are fearful and don't like going to the vet. How do we manage them? And there's a whole push in the veterinary world for fear-free office calls and practice. And it involves, you know, sometimes going to the vet for happy dog visits where you would take your dog there. They would get nothing done except maybe just get some cookies and say hi, to sometimes doing things with some anti-anxiety meds on board where they can feel more comfortable and relaxed. You know, every case has to be approached differently, but there's different things that we can do in practice to make our job go smoother for you and your dog too. But if it isn't something painful that's bothering your dog, the fact that she's about 2 years of age and is kind of reaching what I like to call social maturity, start wondering if this is, you know, her being really controlling or anything like that. Like, you know, don't bother me, don't move me, this is my spot. And I think that this, with the severity of this problem, the fact that your granddaughter almost was bit, you're very lucky it was an almost bite, but it's going to happen eventually. That working with an applied animal behaviorist to get a diagnosis as to what may be triggering your dog to do this kind of thing, and to be able to, you know, deal with, you know, find other ways of being able to handle her. But in the meantime, what I'd be recommending is that you kind of change the way she lives in your home, which would probably be better health-wise for her in the long run, being a Dachshund. And by that, I mean, I like to practice kind of a couple of my little rules. One is four on the floor. Dachshunds, with their history of having bad backs, with their long back, they're more prone to slip discs and things like that. They do better being floor dogs. So she can have a bed on the floor, not in bed with you. She can be in the living room next to you, but she's not going to be up on the couch. She's not going to be on your lap. And let her enjoy life, be well-loved, but she's down on the floor level. The other thing is, nothing in life is free. Kind of simple things to remember. And by that, I mean, you want to, you know, she has to say please and thank you for things, just like we would. So that you make her sit to get her dinner, or you may have her sit or lay down before she goes out the door. Anything that she wants in life, even a pet, if she's coming over and demanding attention, make her do something for you, which is a way of saying please. And that way, again, you're not doing anything harsh. You're not punishing her. You're just setting some boundaries that will hopefully help prevent some of these problems. But I really think, even though you may be able to do all this stuff, you still are going to need some help from a professional.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling in. Good luck. Appreciate it. Where does she go? Where do you go if you're...
One of the places that she may want to look is the AVSAB, American Veterinary Society for Animal Behavior. That will have a listing of veterinarians who are behaviorists that have gone through special training and so on. But always just go back to your veterinarian. They kind of have their finger on the pulse of who's in your area. I'm not talking about a dog trainer where they're going to be, you know, teaching the dog to walk on a leash and sit and lay down, and which is phenomenal, and I'm not saying that they, you know, they do a great job and a very well needed job for our pets, but we need to work with somebody that can deal with behavior issues like this, and that would be an applied animal behaviorist.
And again, Ann, thanks. Lisa in East Troy has something for us, though. Let's go there. Lisa, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I have two ragdoll cats that I purchased from a breeder last year. They just turned a year in February. And I did get them vaccinated after I purchased them because the lady I bought them from only did quote-unquote holistic vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to delay picking them up from the breeder because they had gotten sick. Some kind of a virus went through her whole kennel there. And ever since then, and including when they were there, they have chronic eye issues.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am taking them to a specialist next month, but my vet has tried creams and drops and antibiotics and everything else he can think of, and it never actually stays completely gone. Do you have any recommendations?
Well, I really think that probably one of the most common causes of cats with chronic eye issues is that they were infected with a virus called feline herpes, which is goes by the name of rhinotracheitis. To my knowledge, there are no holistic vaccines. You have to use a vaccine. That vaccine is vaccine. And there isn't anything that out there that I know of that can be used as an alternative. So what I would guess is that they probably had a round of herpes go through the cattery because none of the cats were vaccinated effectively. And unfortunately, the kittens got it. And like us with herpes, it never goes away. It's there, and it can sometimes can maybe go hide in the body and then come out again when they're stressed. But many cats will have kind of chronic eye irritation from this and may need to be on either antiviral drugs, sometimes chronic steroid use may be necessary. But I'm glad you're going in to have this taken care of. And I hope that you keep on getting your cat vaccinated and with your veterinarian and not be relying on something that has never shown to have any proven efficacy.
Right, absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling, Lisa. Appreciate your call. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, our guest from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Always great to have her come by to talk about our pet's health. I know it's important for me. I really look forward to her visits. And so does Michelle Good, who joins us again as well. She's here because it's our spring membership drive, and you rely on WPR for informative, in-depth discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like this one going. So I hope you'll give right now. Any amount, it all makes a difference at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. And still a dollar-for-dollar match going.
We do. We still have $500 available of that dollar-for-dollar match. So if you're planning on making a pledge of $500, this is a great time. But if you're planning on making a pledge of $5, this is also a great time to get your money doubled. It's because 9XM Leadership Circle member Craig Culver from Sauk City, he has made this generous gift, and he will double every dollar that you give.
It's his way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And it's only in effect until noon today. So there's just a few minutes to go to take advantage of that money.
Now, if you listen to WPR, you probably, one of the first things you heard was Larry Mueller. He covers so many topics. Practical knowledge as well as just fun things. I know you have a lot of book authors on, as well as learning about gardening, home repair, travel, compute. Is there a topic you don't actually?
I don't know.
Sports? You've done a little bit of sports.
I do sports. I do pretty much everything. I haven't done anything on astrophysics lately.
That doesn't mean you probably won't. And the thing is, you don't get a show anywhere else like this. This show is possible pledge by pledge only at listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. It's because of listeners like you. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this drive, you can get this year's artist mug when you give $13 a month or just a one-time gift of $156. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you also get this beautiful mug, which I am now going to have to put another $156 in.
Well, you will be happy to know then that it is made in the USA. It's by artist Chris Gargan. He's from Dane County. It's an oil painting, or it's based on an oil painting. It captures the natural beauty of a Wisconsin meadow. It's really lovely.
Pretty.
If you want to see it, you can check out the design at WPR.org and ask for yours when you pledge online or call WPR.org. Call 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
And Bruce, we're happy that you are a sustaining member. And as you listen to Bruce talk, I hope you thought about it for yourself. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good. And we're asking for your support. And it's any amount, $10 a month, maybe it's $15, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Maybe you want to consider sharing your appreciation of the lifelong learning that you get from WPR. Make a 9XM Leadership Circle gift of $100 a month. That's what Craig Culver did, who's sponsoring this dollar-for-dollar match. That's $1,200 a year, and it provides an important piece of funding for the programs that we all rely on.
Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I can tell you, we still have money that's on the table here. Have to have that dollar-for-dollar match by noon.
Pledge drives are a time to celebrate the quality that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. You listen because you enjoy the programs, and now we're asking you to back that feeling up with your financial support.
Listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. The programs you enjoy every day are possible thanks to that significant piece of the budget pie. So please give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Still time for you to take advantage of that dollar-for-dollar match. We are just slowly chipping away at it. It is from 9XM Leadership Circle member Craig Culver of Sauk City. So when you make that pledge, you get your pledge doubled. Take advantage of this match. It's only available for another 2 minutes. Double your support for WPR programs. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to WPR on your way to work or back and forth from work every day, sometimes on the weekend, I listen quite a bit on the weekend myself here, you might listen hundreds of hours a year.
That's amazing how it all adds up. If you've never given to WPR before, make your gift today. It could be $5 or $10 a month. For hundreds of hours of listening, that makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. You don't get that kind of deal. Your gift, no matter what amount you choose, it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And with a minute to go, we're still short. You can still contribute right now. Help us reach that dollar-for-dollar match. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR could go twice as far. Twice as far. Let me give that number again. It is 1-888-202-2552, or you can go online to WPR.org. We've had some wonderful listener in Green Bay said, I've listened to WPR since I was a kid. It was the only station my mother would listen to. Now I'm a mother, and I want to make sure my kids listen as well. That's what. Thank you for inspiring program. Thank you for that inspiring comment. What about you? Contribute right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. I'm Larry Mueller. So happy to have you join us. At the start of the show, I mentioned that we were going to talk about landscaping hazards for pets. And I want to get that in before the show's over, Sandy.
Yeah, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because I have a new puppy at home, and it really does change the way I'm kind of having to work on my yard this year. And one of the things is I have a couple of ponds, small ponds at home, but I've had to fence them in because if he fell in, he wouldn't be able to get out. So although water features are really nice, I had a patient who actually was a blind poodle that got into the owner's pond and died, couldn't get out. So, you know, so things like that can happen. But just some simple things to be really consider is, you know, you have to know what plants are in your yard. As I saw my puppy this morning come in with a big chunk of my bleeding heart plant hanging from his mouth, I was like, oh, my God, at least that's not one of the toxic ones. But we have to be really concerned. You got to know what plants you can use. And if you've got cats that are indoor outdoor cats, avoiding lilies if possible, especially the Asiatic lilies. Those are ones that very, very toxic for cats, but things like foxglove and some of the irises and even lily of the valley can, if they're, you know, munched on, can make your dog sick. Not necessarily toxic, but could, you know, really make your dog feel punky for a while. But other things to be concerned about besides the plants is you know, looking at what you're using for mulching. No cocoa bean mulch. There is enough of the active ingredient in the cocoa bean mulch that it can make dogs toxic. It smells like chocolate. Yes, it looks beautiful, but it shouldn't be in any yard where pets are because they may be inclined to eat it. Watch out for what type of edging you use. We've seen dogs getting lacerated with some of the kind of rigid plastic or metal edging. Those can be very irritating to feet. Don't expect your yard to be perfect. If you do get those yellow spots, that's because the dog is over fertilizing those areas. And you can train your dog to use a potty area in the yard, but it does take some work on your part, and that may help save some of your grass. But even simple things like what kind of fertilizers you use. There was something published that where they looked at professionally applied herbicides and fertilizers had a 70% increase in some types of cancer in dogs because they're going out and walking through these things. So trying to stay with organic fertilizers, avoiding pesticides, avoiding herbicides. Yes, your lawn may not look great, but, you know, we're all out there for the safety of your pet. So, you know, just common sense type stuff.
Very good. Very good information there. Liz in Fitchburg has a question for you, Sandy. Let's go there. Liz, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Dr. Sawchuk. I adopted a Collie Beagle mix, a lovely dog, about 2.5 years ago from a local rescue. And I was told she was spayed. However, within 3 months of having her, I noticed some blood on the floor and realized that she was in heat. And talking with my vet, she said that sometimes if a piece of ovarian tissue is left behind, dogs can go through a heat cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's continued this ever since I got her. And then in January, she had a false pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I just was calling to know, and the other thing I want to add here, I was just talking to the producer who answered the phones before, and she had the same thing happen to her, only to find out her dog was never spayed.
Yes.
Well, in looking at Lovey, there's no incision.
Mm-hmm.
There's no scar. So was she spayed or wasn't she spayed? And how often does this happen to animals who are spayed?
Yeah, well, it's fortunately when we spay an animal, typically all the ovarian tissue is removed. But if they're, you know, doing kind of production spay lines, making very small incisions, there's a possibility that a piece of ovary may be left in, or there's what we call an ectopic ovary, where it's not in the normal place but can still be very active, and so the veterinarian may have missed it. You're right. Typically, once the pet has been spayed, we will see evidence of a scar on their abdomen, but sometimes if it's a tiny incision right over the umbilicus area, you may miss it. That's why many shelters now are putting a little tattoo on the animal's belly so that if we see this little line on their belly, we know that somebody's been in there and hopefully removed all the ovarian tissue to keep the pet from coming into heat. So the problem for your dog is, regardless of whether she's been, partially spayed or not spayed at all, I think she's probably going to need to have an exploratory done to be able to find this piece of extra tissue, if that's all it is. The best time to do it would be when she's actually in heat, so that little bit piece of tissue may be a little bit bigger. But the fact that she's now 2.5 and had continued cycles, unfortunately, health risk for her is that she's got a fairly substantial chance of developing breast cancer down the road. The damage has already been done with having the hormonal stimulation. So getting her spayed now may help prevent other things like ovarian cancer. If she does have uterine tissue there, a pyometra, an unwanted pregnancy. So I still think it's a good idea to go in and have that taken care of.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Bob and Franklin, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you kind of answered my question already, but I have a tenant that has two cats, and she saw that the neighbors were spraying the lawn with weed killer.
Yeah.
And she was very upset and wants that to stop. She says it can poison her cats. because they do go outside.
Yeah, that's why the like the lawn care people are, they put those little flags in so that it kind of alerts people that this grass has been treated, so you can avoid having your pet walk on it. So this may be the case where the if the neighbor's going to continue to use something like this, that she needs to walk her cats or have her cats be in a different area so that they're not coming in contact, because cats are able to groom themselves. And they do groom themselves, they're going to be ingesting anything that gets on their feet. So that's a tough one. I mean, you've got somebody that wants to have a pretty yard, but, you know, the owner wants to be able to have the cats go outside. You're just going to have to limit them from that area until we know it's safe. And that's going to depend on the product that's used and the method of application, the weather, all those things. And I would have to defer to the lawn care people to be able to know when is it safe for a pet to go back onto one of those surfaces.
Yeah. So you're going to have a talk with your neighbor. About what's... what products and so forth.
But the law is that if you have cats and if she's got her own yard that the cats can stay in, then that's where they need to be. If they're leaving your the property that she's paying rent for, then she's breaking the law. So they should either be in a confined enclosure outside or on leashes so that they're not able to wander into the neighbor's yard that's treating their grass.
There we go.
Not really the neighbor. It's a shared yard.
Okay.
Oh, it's a shared yard.
Two families.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, well, they're looking for non-toxic weed killer.
Okay. So. Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that. And thanks for. And I'm Bob. Here's in a pickle.
Yes.
In a way.
I think because he's stuck in the middle between someone that wants a nice lawn, and someone wants healthy pets.
Yeah. And well, we could talk a lot more about that, but let's not. Let's go to Vicki in Duluth, Minnesota instead. Hi, Vicki.
Hi there. So I have an 11-year-old Shih Tzu, and she just had her checkup, and the veterinarian was just so surprised at how perfect her teeth are. They just look great. And I brush them almost every day with an enzymatic toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
So the question was, why don't people have enzymatic toothpaste? So I asked my dentist. And I said, it doesn't taste bad, and everybody had a good laugh, but can people use the dog's toothpaste?
If you don't mind seafood or beef-flavored or whatever, poultry-flavored, personally, I don't think it tastes great. Our dental staff at the veterinary school, what they tell people is that, for the most part, toothpaste is there as a flavoring to have that be more a pleasant activity for the pet to have to have or having its teeth brushed. So you can get probably the same effect with brushing with just using a wet toothbrush.
What about those enzymes?
Yeah, whether they're going to help or not, yeah. I mean, it's not going to hurt, but you're probably, the main effect is going to be just the mechanical brush getting in the mouth. Now, the reverse, though, of using human toothpaste in pets, that's a big no-no. Not only do pets not like the minty fresh feeling, but a lot of our toothpaste contain detergents and fluoride, and they're meant to not be swallowed. They're meant to be spit out, and yet pet toothpaste are meant to be swallowed because dogs obviously aren't rinsing and spitting. So feel free to continue to use it, but I think that you would probably benefit from staying with a human-approved toothpaste than using a pet toothpaste.
There you go. Thanks, Vicki. Yeah, appreciate the call. And, let's go to Jennifer in Milwaukee. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you. I'm a Wisconsin native, and so is my dog, and we have to move to Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
He's a male Westie, and we like to take him with us when we go places, but one of our biggest fears in moving to the South is exposing our dog to too much heat. And not having any experience with this, I just wanted your professional opinion. I've even seen in dog supply catalogs crates where you can attach a fan. Of course, we know about leaving windows down in the car. But just as far as the heat, and then as far as taking a dog to the beach,
okay,
whether it's safe for dogs to be in the sand, But mostly we're just really concerned about the heat exposure for him.
Yeah, you know, I've lived in Wisconsin now since 1984. And boy, I've had some days that surpass the weather that they have in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And my pets and myself, we've all survived. And so we all, you know, your pet has probably experienced some 100 degree days or really high humidity days. And you just be smart about it. You exercise them in the morning when it's cooler out, or at night, not during the day. You keep them in the shade, lots of water, you know, and just being smart about it. I think that certain breeds are definitely going to have more troubles in hot, humid weather. The brachycephalic breeds, like the bulldog, like I have. It's funny, though, that, you know, Georgia, they have the bulldog as their mascot. Right. And yet that's the dog that's probably the worst one for living down in that area. So I think your dog will do fine if you just, you know, are kind of smart about how you deal with it. The beach, a different story. The sand can be quite irritating to feet. They need to get used to it. Sand can be hot as well, just like pavement. And so if you can put your hand on it and hold it for several seconds and not be uncomfortable, then your dog will probably be fine too. But really be careful. That sandy soil, if they're running on it, is quite irritating. And you may find that your dog will have to, you know, wear, you know, booties or something like that when they're on the beach if they get irritated. And watch like things like salt water. That can be a problem as well, because if the dog tries to ingest it, it can really make them nauseous.
Oh, yes.
And have you ever seen these fans that attach to their crate for use in the car or something?
Yes,
like that?
That would be fine. But even with putting the windows down, the car is still going to be way too hot. And so I would never consider leaving your dog, regardless of whether it's in Wisconsin during the summer or in Atlanta year-round, in a vehicle, because it just, even with the windows cracked and so on, it would be a death trap for them.
Yep, there we go. Thanks, Jennifer, and good luck. Sorry you're leaving us for Atlanta.
She can still listen.
She can still listen
online, and
still
so
listen online. Absolutely. And we've got some calls from Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. I know lots from Florida. And I know that we have lots of great listeners, not only in Florida and Georgia, but in good old Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa and Illinois. And I know, too, that Michelle Good likes to talk about Wisconsin public radio listeners. And she's back with me to talk about our fund drive. You count on WPR for great discussions. And it's your gift, as Michelle likes to say, any amount that makes these discussions possible. Give now at WBR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Well, Larry, it's true. I do like to talk about Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, and I'd like to talk about 44 of them. 44 really amazing people who gave last hour and helped us blow our goal out of the water. Thank you so much for all of your donations. We really appreciate it. Now, this little half hour, we have a goal of 5 pledges.
You can support the station you love and help us meet our goal when you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We know that you love hearing Dr. Sandy Sawchuk and hearing about pet care. This is an example of the informative and substantial conversations we have on the Larry Mueller Show.
So I hope you'll now take a few minutes to make this program and the many more programs you enjoy possible. Give a gift that works for you and make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you give to WPR to support the programs you love. And as an added incentive, we have something special during this spring membership drive. It's our latest WPR Artist Mug, our 2016 WPR Artist Mug. It was designed by Chris Gargan, a landscape painter from Dane County.
And it's this whole series is kind of a wonderful tradition. This year's mug is beautiful, an oil painting of an open meadow on a Wisconsin farm in the spring, and it's yours when you give $13 a month, or maybe just like me, I'm going to give $156, and then I'll have the mug. Mm-hmm. You do that by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I have many favorites. I like the music for casual listening, but when I want to pay attention, when I want to do intentional listening, then I like anything that Larry Mueller does. I do like Chapter a Day. In fact, I usually try to catch that twice, both early in the day and late at night. I like Saturday morning classics by request, and I love the folk music program on Sunday evening. I like all the NPR offerings, especially Prairie Home Companion and All Things Considered. I listen all the time. I'm Lorraine Henning from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for intellectual stimulation.
Lorraine, thank you so much. And thank you. If you've donated already, we love that. If you haven't, do it right now in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Michelle Good, and we're here to raise the money that keeps this station on the air. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. I've had folks donate $100 a month. We really appreciate and count on your gift no matter what the amount.
The strength of WPR's budget is that it comes from several different sources, but the single largest piece of the budget is member support, including nearly 700 members of our 9XM Leadership Circle.
9XM members support WPR with gifts of $1,200 a year or more every year, $100 a month. You can join the 9XM Leadership Circle now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Now, some of the regular guests that you hear on this program are Peter Green, who helps us with our computers, PJ Leash. They answer all of the endless questions about insects, and of course, Melinda Myers. She is a nationally known gardening expert.
You get great information, and I think information you can use from these guests and so many others on the program, and it's really a pleasure for me to have them on so that you can hear them. And it's your contribution that makes it all possible. Please pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You know, I thought we had five to get.
It would be so easy.
We thought it would be so easy.
It's not easy.
It's never easy, is it, Michelle?
And you know, the thing about Larry's show is you get that wide variety of guests. You get a Peter Green. You get Melinda Myers. You learn about physical therapy. You learn about home repair and renovation. There are so many valuable bits of information that you pick up from listening to WPR. It is time to make a pledge. If you haven't made one already, do it right now. We are still looking, strangely enough, for two more pledges. We've got 5 minutes. We should be able to get that, but we need to hear from you. Your pledge right now. That's the one that's going to make a difference. You two, the two of you who are listening to me right now, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It will make a world of difference.
WPR, it's a powerful resource we've all created together. The programs on this station have an impact all over the state and far beyond as well.
And when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you're really participating in something that's pretty amazing. Give now. Be a part of a statewide music, news, and all the talk that makes WPR great.
On Wisconsin Public Radio, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you anytime you want.
And what makes all that possible? You do. People who contribute make all that happen.
And I tell you what, the time is fleeting here.
It is. We still need those two people.
It's fleeting. So I've lost my train of thought that I was thinking about the fact that we still have two more callers to call in with a contribution in the next couple of minutes here. I hope you'll join in and make your contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Help move me off this. Two more callers.
I mean, think about what you spend your money on. A cup of coffee, two people, instead of getting coffee, or get coffee too, but make that pledge right now. Help us meet that five-person goal. We can do it, but we need your help. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I tell you what, Robert from Cross Plains says, I listen, therefore I pledge.
Be like Robert. You're listening. Therefore, you should be pledging.
Yeah. Listen, a Two Harbors listener says, I love WPR. I want to keep it alive and well. And Michelle and I want to be alive and well, too, and on the air. We can use your help right now. And we're going to have to go away.
One more pledge.
One more
you
pledge.
You can do it.
You
make that call, 888-202-2552.
We're going to have to go away here in about 30 seconds. But I tell you what, you still have a minute and a half to go to get that contribution in. So do it right now,
won't you?
WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You're going to feel great all day long. Larry and Michelle are going to be smiling and happy because you contributed. Do it right now. 1-800. We did it. Thank you for listening and stay with us.